everybody. Welcome to Bright Ideas. It's a fill-in podcast that we're going to be doing once a month, maybe more than once a month. I am your host, Alex, here with our other host, Dan. We're both part of the filming core team. Dan is the brains behind the operation. So today we've got a lot of really exciting updates in the filament world for V4, some exciting V4 news. So we'll dive into that. But before we do, I want to just take a couple seconds and say a big thank you to Kirschbaum Development Group for being a filament partner and helping make this show possible.
Thank you to Kirschbaum for sponsoring my work on filament every day. I wouldn't be able to spend so much time in open source without them, so it's really appreciated. And thank you for joining us on our podcast. We're just starting out, so hopefully you enjoy what we have to say and hear a few insights on what we're doing in the filament world. So, Alex, anything new with you?
Yeah, I, you know, always working on some filament stuff. Right now, I'm actually working on building an onboarding form for a couple friends of mine who have an application where their backend, we're porting it over to filament. And one of the things that we wanted to figure out is how do we take this very large, complex data entry that is kind of the barrier to entry for new clients, new users coming into the system. How do we take that and simplify it so that people can more easily get into the system, right? Because that's the whole idea behind a SaaS product. You want people to be able to onboard onto your product easily without having to do a lot of manual intervention. So we're actually moving all that into filament. So it's actually my first time ever using the multi-step wizard. I have somehow ducked around using the wizard for, I mean, however long I've been using filament at this point, since version 2, at least. It's been wild. It's been really, really nice to be able to logically break up these different steps and then, you know, shove repeaters and builders inside of each individual step so we can have this dynamic data that these users are going to need without having to have them email us a giant Excel spreadsheet of all the things they need to put into the app. So that's been pretty fun. I've been excited to use that. It's definitely interesting building this kind of filament application where it's very form heavy.
So I guess you're outside of the panel builder and you're using the form builder in a live work component, or are you trying to attempt this inside the panel builder?
So we're doing it inside the panel builder. So we have a panel that is for just general administration of the app. And we decided, since we already have that there, let's just go ahead and tack on this onboarding form, because what's going to end up happening is the onboarding step happens in between when a user signs up and then when they get access to the application. Like, they could theoretically sign up and jump into the application. They're just going to see a bunch of empty states, which isn't super helpful in this very specific case. So what we ended up doing is the user signs up, you know, they pay through, I think we're paying through Stripe, and then they get redirected to this onboarding form, which is just, it's one page in its own dedicated panel. So you can't actually access the admin panel, obviously, if you're not an admin. They go through the onboarding flow, the resources get created. So we're hijacking the save method on the form. We're saving like an onboarding record, just so we have record of what they put in case things change down the line or we have a bug. But then the logic actually goes out and it creates all the different resources. And then we kick them back to the actual view and inertia application that they would interact with day to day. So it's a little bit of a strange workflow, but overall it's really smooth. I'm kind of surprised and pleasantly happy with how it's worked out. I think it helps that the styling of the inertia app, like the main app that the users are going to interact with, looks similar enough to a filament admin panel that it's not this really jarring jump. The only thing I had to do was move the sidebar to the top, but there's no options. There's no other pages to go to other than this form. So it's not like,
Actually, I probably should shout out a couple of plugins here, because you might be able to use one of them at least. There's the Onboarding Pro plugin from Ralph, and that allows you to do onboarding wizards. And I think that is also tracking steps for you. So say the user exits partway through the onboarding process, it can land you back on that step. And another one that might not be relevant to you but could be relevant to other people who are doing this within a panel is the Guava Tutorials plugin, and that would allow you to basically have little pop-ups over little UI elements in the panel and allow the user to basically like click through each step in the tutorial, and it will highlight a different part of the UI and introduce them to it. So I know you said you're using Vue and Inertia for the main app, but if you had like a main app in filament, then that's something you could use there.
Yeah. I would be so curious to see the percentage of people that are building their entire application in Filament. I feel like I see it a lot on Twitter, but I also feel like you and I spin in very filament heavy circles on Twitter. So it's probably skewed way off to to one end, but I would be really curious to see. Hit us up on Twitter if you're building your full app on top of Filament, because I'm just
if you're brave enough.
Yeah, if you're brave enough to deal with all of Dan's breaking changes.
You don't talk about those.
So what's new in your world? I mean, obviously V4, but anything else going on other than that?
So at work, we are building a large Filament app that also happens to be open source. And the client is looking to onboard the first users in the next few weeks. So we're finishing that up and getting ready to properly deploy it. So yeah, that's been good to see like how the solution scales as well. And introducing like Octane to handle some stuff. A lot of the features that you've seen in Filament 3.1 and 3.2 have originated from this app. So it's really great to be able to work on it and contribute back.
How long have you been working on that app at this point? It feels like it's been a bit.
I think I've been on it since August or September, but I think the app was created in July.
Wow.
So this is 2023. Yeah. But it's now turned into three apps instead of one.
As it does.
as it gets bigger and splits up. But yeah, each app is using Filament independently, and at some point they would all communicate.
And it's open source too.
It is open source too, and it's been featured on the Laravel Daily channels in some code review videos as well.
Oh man, that's stressful.
yeah, having your code analyzed on YouTube.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's nice to see how fast we've been able to move, because we have hundreds of pages as far as I know, and navigating between all those prompted subnavigation and clusters and stuff like that, and also making that faster with caching, like page caching and stuff, so that the pages don't need to be discovered each time you request.
Oh, interesting.
And also optimizing the Octane integration that we already had to make sure that the panels weren't being booted each time a request happens, and that all happened once. There wasn't any leakage between requests as well.
Right. And that's all come out in V3, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's all V3 stuff. But yeah, we started to work on V4. I had a call with Zach last week, and I think he can tell when I'm excited, because I just call him and info dump my ideas on him. But basically, we've got a really strong direction now, and that's something I kind of want to talk about today. It's a bit of a paradigm shift, and it will hopefully make things better while also minimizing the amount that you need to change your code to make this work from version 3.
So like breaking changes, you're saying?
Yeah.
Minimal breaking changes.
I don't like to say the words, but yeah, minimal, hopefully minimal breaking changes if I get the layer correct that sits between what we're trying to achieve and this.
That would be awesome.
So the whole idea is that we are trying to unify all of the packages so that they can be combined in ways that were much more difficult to do before. And viewers can't see Alex cheering, but Alex has got his arms up.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited for this change.
So I'll just give you a little bit of a rundown. So you wanted to have a form and an info list and a widget and a table all in one view. That's absolutely possible. In the view, you would basically define some divs or some elements and output each individual component inside those elements. Now, that's all separate lines of blade that output the different components. And that's good if you are building an app in your own Livewire components and you're not using the panel builder. But one thing we've found is that if people want to change the layout of the panel builder pages, they actually have to then publish the view of each page, like copy it into their app, point the page class to the new view, and then change things around. And that's fine, but it introduces a new file in the code base that you don't really need, because you already have a file that can manage how a page is structured. So what we're trying to do is we're basically trying to make like a page schema where you can override the content of a page from one method in the page class without having to publish the view. Now, if you imagine this, it might be a little bit like how you use layout components inside forms, because you can define like which fields might be in a section, which fields might be in a grid, which fields are in a wizard, as you mentioned. And those layout components could be useful outside of the form builder and the infolists individually. Like you might want a section which contains a form and an infolist. You might want a section that contains widgets or tables for a relation manager. You want to change where a relation manager is being output on the page. Maybe you want it on the top above the form. Maybe you want, I mean, this is possible already with relation groups. Maybe you want some relation managers in one group, in a tab, others without a tab. We're also trying to make it easier to be able to do that.
Is that within the scope of your resource, or is this only for custom pages?
So this is within resource pages.
Okay.
So obviously you've got your resource, and your resource is going to remain the place that you define your form and your table. But then resources have the page classes, right? So Each page class corresponds to a different page for that resource, and you should be able to override the content. So like, say you want to change how the relation managers were shown on an edit page, you could override the content method on an edit page and then change the order in which the components are. And that should allow you to then do that without creating an extra file. So yeah, this isn't just custom pages. This is actually mainly useful for built-in pages and minimizing the amount of code you have to write to override those. Because customizability is what we're trying to strive for here with Filament all the time. And making that easier is something that we try and take a lot of care with.
So when we're combining these different elements from the different packages, right, tables, forms, info lists, is the plan to put them all at this kind of top level package, or is a text field still going to be in the forms package and like a text column still going to be in the tables package?
Yeah, so I've started refactoring this already. Essentially, what's going to happen is we will have a new package. At the moment, the name of the package is Schema, but you won't really install Schema on its own. Schema will be installed by the Forms package or the InfoList package or the Widgets package. Those packages then build on top of the base Schema components. So Schema will contain the layout components. So it will contain the section, grid, group, field set, wizard, tabs. All of those different layout components will be in the Schema package. And any of the Forms, InfoList, Widgets can use those components. All of the base components that we extend for each of the different packages also belong in the Schema package. And that's kind of what ties it all together. But yeah, like that is the abstraction layer that we've gone with at the moment. And it's really improving the maintainability of the components as well for us, because currently we have duplicate classes for InfoList and Forms for the different layout components when they're essentially the same. They're the same sort of code really in the view and the class. So we'll be able to have one class that controls both of those.
That makes sense. And then I have to ask, so currently there are 5 million different places that I can import an action from. Are we roping actions in on this too? Because then I might fall out of my chair. I'll be so happy.
Yeah. So actions is one that we've heard a lot. And historically, I've always said that it would be very difficult / impossible to do that, because each action has its own features and it interacts with the packages in their own way. For example, like actions in the form builder can access the values of fields, whereas actions in the InfoList component don't have fields. So it kind of makes it a little bit more tricky from us. Also, table actions have access to like deselect records in the table or select them. Bulk actions are completely different, but we are trying to unify these at the same time so that you'll be able to use the same action class within forms, info lists, and actions standalone, because the goal is to unify forms and info lists into one schema. So it wouldn't really make sense to then force the user to choose between form action or info list action or normal action. Kind of makes sense to have them all combined. So that's what we're going to go for. So yeah, hopefully that makes you and some people happy. But I'm not promising that every action class is going to be like that. Because as I said, like the table actions I haven't looked at yet, and they might be a little bit too much to extract out into that base class.
Yeah, but the rows and the bulk actions, that they're very different.
I think definitely the bulk actions I don't think are going to change. I think there's a possibility that the normal actions in tables might. especially the header actions. I think there's the possibility that header actions might, but the question there is, do you want a different action class between header actions and row actions? Because at the moment it's the same one. So does that make sense? Like, then importing might make it a little bit more difficult to import because then you have to use aliases and yeah, it's just a lot to think about.
Yeah, I definitely see that. I'm also on the other side of the fence where, you know, we have section header actions too. So if a generic action, so to speak, could be in the header of a section, you know, why wouldn't I also expect
that's
it to
very
be
true, yeah,
the header of a table?
Yeah. But I guess table header actions can also control which records are selected. And they can access things like the table instance if they're a table action. But there might be some ways that we can inject that sort of thing from the table conditionally. Another thing, so now we're probably going to get into the new features we can introduce with this. One of them is something I proposed in the Livewire repository a few weeks back, and that is partial rendering. So I made a proposal in the discussion section of Livewire, and I proposed that you should be able to render part of a Livewire component independently from the rest of it. So this isn't just sending part of the HTML over the wire to get replaced. This is only making Blade render the part that you need it to. This is especially important if you are calling getter methods or computed properties from your Livewire views, because if you use a heavy getter or a heavy computed property in one part of the view and you're not even rendering it, then that is still going to get called if you render the entire view. But what we want to do is make it so that you shouldn't need to call those getters and computed properties if you're not using the results of them. And that would require a separate Blade view or some sort of pre-processing. Now, we have this schema, which is a layer on top of views at the moment. So in Filament, we might choose to implement our own version of that proposal and apply it to schema components. So when you edit a form field, you might want to reload a different component in the schema. You might want to reload a different form field, or maybe an infralist component, or maybe even a table. Now, you don't want to have to render the entire schema. You could just select which components to render, and only the HTML for those components get rendered. And it's very easy for us then to control which components we're rendering, because we control the schema anyway. We control exactly when a component renders, and we can extract a component from the schema, get the object for it and render it, and then send it to Livewire and then replace it on the front end. So hopefully that will then allow us to do that sort of thing, because also in the past we've had people who want to make certain back-end interactions, but they don't want the entire view to refresh, especially if it's like a huge form or even a table. We want to minimize that. So
is this then an extension onto the live method that is on, say, a form field?
That's one of the implementations we could do, yeah. So a form field could define a live method with the partials, the updates. One thing that we need to be careful about there is deferred requests and batch requests. So because Livewire might batch multiple live updates in one request, or it might defer live updates on Blur, for example, that could mean that we then have to choose which partials get rendered based on multiple components, which could get a little bit tricky. And maybe if one component gets updated that needs the entire Blade view to refresh, and one only needs one component to refresh, then we'd have to ignore the fact that one component needs to refresh a tiny view and render the whole thing anyway, because it's all in the same request, right? So I think that there are definitely some use cases where you could only end up rendering one component at a time.
Interesting.
I also think that, like, from actions, like if you run an action and you know for certain that only a certain part of the view is being affected by the action, then you could tell the action somehow to only render that part of the view instead of the entire thing.
Just thinking about, you know, filament apps that I've worked on in the past and even am currently working on, once those pages start getting large, I think of, you know, we have a couple builders and repeaters on there, and we're putting all sorts of form fields in there. Those live updates get not slow necessarily, but they definitely don't feel snappy.
They do get slow. Yeah. Especially when you have like tons of repeater items or builder items. And that's also something we could improve, because we could say that when you add a new repeater item, only render the view for a new repeater item and then add it onto the existing repeater. I'm not sure how viable that is, but hopefully that's something we could then work out how to do. Same for like deleting. We shouldn't need to render the entire view just to delete an item. We should be able to kind of remove that item from the view with JavaScript. But yeah, like also batch requests could be a little bit tricky there, but
yeah, I'm excited for the performance implications of this one. I think that's going to be a massive improvement for certain workflows, like the one I'm working on now.
Yeah, no. So wizards, as you're using, they actually have to render all the steps at once because the current wizard step is stored in an Alpine property. And when you switch between steps, you are calling, you're making a request to Livewire to validate, but then you're actually switching the steps in Alpine and not Livewire because there's no like Livewire property that is tied to that wizard. So one thing that could improve is we only render the next step. And that could be another form of partial rendering. So it's not all about the live method or having an API for all components at once to partially render. It's also about Filament making smart decisions about what to render on your behalf and giving ourselves like a set of tools to be able to do that.
Yeah, love it. So what my one last question about that, and you may have said this already, yeah, and I'm just confusing it with the combined schemas we talked about. Is this something that would be available for just the panel, or is this something that we're planning on pushing down into like the forms package or the tables package?
I definitely want it to be available inside the form package, table package, because I feel like people are using those packages in a very similar way to how we use them in the panel builder anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's definitely going to be a world where people are going to be using both, right? They're going to be adding a form on its own and they want to define a form just how it was defined in V3. So we want to add some sort of backwards compatibility to allow them to do that. But if they want to then add an info list component inside that form, we shouldn't need to stop them, right? Mm-hmm. That's already a feature. So yeah, hopefully we can then add this layer into people's normal Livewire components and allow them to use it, and also allow them to use the partial rendering features and everything. Also, a new component that we want to introduce is a table that runs on static data.
Oh man, I think I can hear it now. The sounds of people falling out of their chairs and off of their beds as they're listening to this. Yeah. They're so excited.
So the table builder currently works with Eloquent, and all of the features that we have tie in very closely with Eloquent, like the filters, the columns, the actions. They all work with specific Eloquent records and they modify the Eloquent query. Now, a lot of the time, people don't have the data coming from Eloquent. Maybe they have their own queries. Maybe they have like a cached set of data. Maybe they have an API they want to call. And one thing we want to investigate is introducing a new table component, not changing the existing one, but introducing a new one that allows you to use static data with a lot of the same APIs, but it's probably going to be a little bit more limited to what we have in the table builder, because a lot of the features that we have are geared very much towards usage with Eloquent models. And one thing we don't want to do is make it more difficult to use the table builder with Eloquent models, because I feel like 90% of tables are built with Eloquent. But we don't want to block people off from making tables that look very similar if they have static data. So that's something we want to do. How that will probably work is we will have many of the same UI components, but it will not have any of the logic to change what data is being rendered. So potentially we have column objects, just like we do at the moment, but we also have a method that returns a function to get the data in the table. And that function can accept the current column that's being sorted. It might accept the search value of the table. It might accept the filter form data. And then you can then interpret that data that's coming from the UI and customize the query or the API call that you're sending, and then return back to Filament exactly the data you want to render. So that's kind of put into your hands. It's less magic. I feel like that's the direction we want to go with that. And that will probably be part of the table builder as a component that's available in schemas. So that's another reason to use a schema, because then you can use that sort of component.
Yeah, I think the API data is the most interesting to me out of all that. Obviously, the whole use case is fantastic. And people have been clamoring for it, I mean, for as long as I've been involved with the project, if not longer. But so much data comes, at least for projects that I'm working on, come from these external APIs, where I clearly do not have Eloquent models for every single thing that's coming back from these APIs. I just want to show some data. Like the project I'm working on right now, I can already think of no less than 10 different places where I want to reach out, grab API data, and just show it. Like, I'm not doing anything with it. I'm not even really storing it. It's just contextual information. So being able to put that into a table that just matches the rest of my filament panel, that would be awesome.
I can especially imagine this is going to be useful for people who are building with APIs that contain query builders and GraphQL interfaces, because those really do allow you to drill down into the results of the API query and tailor them. So APIs that allow you to sort records, APIs that allow you to filter, you can pass in the values of the sorting column and the filter form into that, and the API can do the rest, and then you just return what you want to render.
Epic. I love it.
Yeah. And so that's one thing. That's all of the schema stuff that we want to introduce with V4.
That's one thing. Just one.
Yeah. And one thing we've already discussed quite a bit is the UI side of things. And this is especially what I've been talking to Zep about as well, because he controls a lot of the UI work in Filament. And I think we both have a very similar vision on what we want this to look like in V4. Essentially, we've always said that we want to start extracting out more blade components, and we already started to do this in version 3 with our blade component library. So we've got inputs and cards and tabs available outside of the schema. But we want to go further than that and extract all of the UI that we use inside schemas into blade components so that you can use those without the schema syntax. So if you don't like or you don't need the PHP classes that back up the UI in Filament, then you can ditch those and you can utilize the blade components that we use ourselves to build Filament with. Part of how we're going to do that is make a rule for ourselves maintaining Filament that we don't ever put CSS classes into schema views. We are only ever allowed to use blade components that then abstract those CSS classes away. And that will kind of force us to make a good blade component API, because we have to use it ourselves, right? Because it's very easy for us to just stick a CSS class in the schema view and then forget about it. But if we force ourselves not to do that, we are then pushing that into something that the user can use on their own.
Does that hamstring us at all? Like, is there a world where forcing ourselves to push CSS just into these components, is there a world where that makes maintaining the panel, for example, more difficult? Or does it mean we're just going to have more components, like more layout components and things that we would use, say, in the panel that then can be used wherever else Blade can be used?
It's going to make it more difficult for us to maintain, because we're going to have to step through more files when we're managing stuff. But we're already having a lot of file savings by merging schemas together. And also the files that we are going to be managing are going to be smaller, and they're going to have more of a specific role instead of handling everything. So the schema view files are only going to be used for translating the schema definition into UI, whereas the UI blade components are purely going to be dealing with props and transforming that into HTML. So they're much more specific roles for each view. They are going to be smaller views, but it will make it more difficult for us to maintain, but hopefully for good reason.
Right. Well, and talking about CSS, I'm very curious about this. Let's talk about our CSS plan in general for these components.
Yeah. So we want to stop using Tailwind CSS inside the HTML. Now, this sounds very radical, and I love Tailwind, don't get me wrong, but I feel like Filament is at a point now where Tailwind in the views is becoming more of a hindrance than it is helping us. And this is not to say that apps should be doing this, because when I build an app, I'm absolutely going to keep putting Tailwind in views. That's not a problem. But when I'm building a UI library like this, it does feel like it's slowing us down a bit. Firstly, because there are so many classes in these components that these views are getting huge in size. And while compression can make that okay, it is hurting our performance a little bit, because Livewire does send that HTML over the wire, including all the Tailwind classes. So that is something we want to try and minimize a little bit and hopefully get a little bit of performance saving on that. Additionally, we want to improve how you're customizing those styles. So actually moving to semantic class names will force us to improve our semantic class naming strategy anyway, which we already kind of have started, but we can improve that even more. And it will allow us to make overriding those CSS classes much easier, because when they're in a CSS file instead of in the HTML, we can apply a layer to them and that will allow the style overrides that you make in your own app to override that layer and make it easier for you to change how something looks without having to use specificity hacks or important or similar. There are also a few more improvements here, because you'll no longer need to add the filament views, the vendor views, into your Tailwind config. So that's going to improve your Tailwind build speed, because you're not scanning many, many, many views for classes. You will also be able to minimize the CSS that you need to build, because in theory, you could only import the component CSS files that you actually need to be able to render the components that you're actually using. So if you wanted to, you could, instead of importing the entire filament CSS file, you could just import the components you need and make your build smaller. And also, when you put your semantic classes with their rules aside your overrides, you can deduplicate some of those rules if they override each other. So Tailwind v4 is actually moving to use a tool called Lightning CSS, which has this built in, and it can merge adjacent CSS rules that become obsolete. So say you have two statements in your CSS, both that target the same class and both that change the text color. Now, the one that comes after that is always going to override the one that comes before. So we can safely remove the one that comes before because it will never be used. Now, Lightning CSS should be able to save us some CSS file size by doing that. And that will kind of make it so that the styles that filament is using don't get included if you are overriding them anyway. Because say we have a text color set to gray 600 and you set the text color to gray 700, there's no point in us sending through gray 600 for that component. We should only send through your one. So hopefully Lightning CSS will be able to do that. I haven't played with it yet, but from what I've read, it should help us out there.
So then, so obviously you say we're moving away from using Tailwind in our components, like in the actual HTML. Is the plan in those CSS files for each component to apply Tailwind classes into them? Okay. I figured that was the case, but I thought we should probably say that.
So yeah, if not apply, then we'll probably end up using the new CSS variables that Tailwind 4 is introducing. So a lot of the values will be available as CSS variables. So maybe we will just go with using normal CSS and then using the Tailwind CSS variables, but Tailwind will still be required to use filament. We're still going to be building on top of it. It's still a tool stack product. And you'll still be able to use Tailwind in your custom views and in your overrides if you want to use apply, but it's just a change that we're making internally that shouldn't affect you, but it should have positive impacts.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm on a slightly unrelated note, I'm so happy that Tailwind CSS is moving towards CSS variables. I think that's
such
a good decision.
It's a great move. Yeah.
I'm so excited for the performance improvements too with Tailwind that Adam keeps tweeting about. I keep seeing him kind of drop these little nuggets of like, oh, look, we shaved the build time down from, you know, however many milliseconds to however many microseconds or whatever it was.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, I'm so excited about Tailwind v4. Do we know when that's going to be released? Have they announced a release date yet?
So they said hopefully it will be released before the summer.
That's crazy. That's so fast.
But I don't want to hold them accountable to that, and they can release it in their own time, because I understand how it is having people pressuring you about when something's going to get released. So whenever they release it, it's going to be absolutely adequate for everyone who's using it, because it's not a life or death thing. But hopefully that will then allow us to upgrade to Tailwind 4 before we release any Filament 4 things, which we're also aiming for the summer.
Makes sense.
So we want to be able to launch with Tailwind 4, because that kind of feels like a good milestone and a good reason to make a major version 2.
Definitely. That's also exciting. There was only technically two things. All of that for the last half an hour has been two things we're adding or changing in v4. Are there, we don't have to, and I don't think we should talk about them now, but are there other v4 ideas, or is that kind of the bulk of it?
So we'll probably discuss on other episodes things like nested resources, rewriting the documentation, and how we're gonna work on improving that, because that's also a big thing we want to improve in version 4. Also documenting our UI library, our new Blade components, because there's only so far that Markdown can take us there, I think. So I think that documenting how we're then going to build the documentation for the Blade components is going to be an interesting topic. So yeah, there's definitely some more V4 stuff that we want to do.
Yeah. more topics for more podcasts. So
yep.
I'm excited to dig more into those. I feel like we went through a lot today, and I think folks are going to be excited about it. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about V4.
Yeah. And hopefully I'll be able to provide an update as well in future episodes about where I'm at with that. I mean, I've already started the refactor, but I might be able to give more specific details later on.
Yeah. Well, the people want to hear it. Yeah. You made a pretty bold tweet with us not ever needing a filament V5 after these changes.
Well, no, I think we all need a filament V5. However, I don't think that the changes we make here will be reversed or changed in any way. I think that this is quite an ultimate implementation. Mm-hmm. Though I can't imagine how we would improve the way that schemas interact more than just combining them anyway.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. I'm not saying no filament V5, but I'm saying that smaller filament V5, maybe.
Well, I think people will be happy about that. Small major versions are usually received well.
Popular, yeah.
Nevertheless, this has been a ton of fun. This is, like I said, first episode of our Bright Ideas podcast. So as always, enjoyable time talking with you, Dan. For the listener, definitely make sure to follow FilamentPHP on Twitter. If you want more of these updates, that's where you're going to find it. You can follow Dan and myself as well and the rest of the Filament Core team. If you want more updates and information on V4 and just on Filament in general, and make sure to drop us a review and rate us 5 stars in your podcatcher of choice. That would definitely help the show. We'll be coming back every month, talking a little bit more about Filament in general. But yeah, thanks for coming along in this crazy ride, and we'll see you next time.